Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to EcoTwist, a conversation about business, politics, sustainability, culture, and social good. I am your host, Gawida Suharyano. We just celebrated the healthcare, the Affordable Care Act, a few days ago. And 16.4 million people have signed up for the plan, and I just happen to be one of them. Our guest today is Jody Manor, who is the owner of a some sort of institutional in Old Town Alexandria, a favorite local hangout place. At Bittersweet, they actually offer employee benefits. Welcome, Jody. Are you there, Jody?
Eric, can you hear me?
Hey, yes.
Hello?
Okay, you're on.
Okay.
Hey, Jody. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you, you know, to take time out of your busy time. I know your restaurant's always busy, and I appreciate you sharing here, talking to us. Now, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, that the Holstein manifesto that you have on display on the window.
Yes.
Actually helped me make decision to leave my job, my old job.
Well,
you know,
good.
The sentence that, it says, you know, that life is short, live your dream and share your passion. That just did it.
Very important things.
That's right.
Thing.
Yeah. And, you were so kind to tour me at, your restaurant. Now I want to, you know, ask you about, tell us about your business. How did you get started?
Well, the business was opened in 1983 by three friends, ladies, who thought it would be fun to be in the food business. And unfortunately, they discovered sort of quickly that it wasn't so much fun after all. It was a lot of hard work and very stressful and challenging and so on. And I had a friend, they had started it as just a sort of a gourmet takeout place, but quickly found that there was a lot of demand for catering. And I had a friend who took a job with them doing catering, selling parties and executing parties. And I was a cater waiter at the time, so I came to work part-time, you know, on a contract basis for them. And then one day they asked me what I was doing during the day, and I said nothing. And they said, well, why don't you come work in the kitchen with us? I need some help, and I like to cook, and I wanted to learn. So I started working here full-time in the kitchen for $5 an hour in 1987. So
wow.
That started.
Years, wow. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Now, how much were you get paid before when you get started? Is it?
When I started working in the kitchen, it was $5 an hour.
$5?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, I think babysitters make more than that nowadays.
Probably the living wage at the time, right?
Well, maybe, yeah. Anyway, I was young and I wanted to do what I was interested in. And it was a cute little local shop here when Old Town was a very different place. It was just kind of getting going again after being sort of the main street here kind of emptied out in the 60s and 70s. And so the ladies were considered pioneers for opening in this midpoint between the river and the metro station and also on a side street. People thought they were kind of crazy to open this kind of business here. So it's been fun to be part of the rebirth of the city.
Yeah. Was the size of the restaurant as big as today, or
it was just a little takeout space. It's actually where we have our bakery now. So I started in 87. I bought the business in 1990, and then in 97, when we bought the building, and we built out the first half of the restaurant there on the corner. And then in 2001, we expanded the restaurant, so it was the whole first floor of the building. And then in 2007, we took another building adjacent to our building where there was a catering business that had gone out of business. And so we moved our catering production kitchen back here and our offices back here. And then we were able to convert our kitchen up there into just a bakery production. So now we do almost all the food production for the Bittersweet and our sister restaurant, the Waterfront Market, in our production kitchen back here in the catering building. And all the bakery, of course, is made up front in that building.
Yeah, yeah, that place always packed. You know, there's a lot of people. That's good business.
Yeah, well, we kind of feel like we're doing something that's pretty unique to the city. Not too many places where you can go and, you know, where you have like a hot buffet and a salad bar and good bakery items. And so it's been popular for a long time. It's 32 years this year. This month it's 32 right. years.
Congratulations. Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
Like, you know, like, yeah, the statistics, especially restaurant business, you know, 95% collapse the next day. So
Stay 32 years is an eternity in the food business.
Now, you know, last time you mentioned that you have like 40 employees. How many employees do you have now with the two
We have about, right now we probably have about 30, between 37 and 40 here at Bittersweet. We'll have another, you know, it gets quiet down there in the wintertime, so it gets smaller, but we'll gear up and we'll have another 20 down at the Waterfront Market during the season when it's busy.
Okay. Are they all full-time or you have a mix of part-timers as well?
We have a mix of full-time, but most people are full-time. We
okay.
have just a few part-time people.
You know, I remember listening to a book, audio by Howard Schultz, the CEO of a Starbucks, Pour Your Heart Into It. He said that if he had the means, he would provide his employees with health care because he saw his dad, who was a truck driver, when he had an accident, he didn't have health insurance. They actually had to borrow money here and there just to cover the expenses and living expenses. That's how Starbucks became one of the first companies that offer benefits to its employees, regardless of employment status, full-time or part-time. And then I watched one of the interviews that you did. I think it was for NPR or something, in relationship to the mandate that is part of the Affordable Health Care Act for businesses with 50 or more employees. And you talk, this is what you said, is healthcare is a basic human right. We just have to figure out into our business model.
Yes.
That.
I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. How did you come about that? You know, because most businesses, especially in the restaurant business, there's a high turnover ratio and they don't have employee benefits.
Well, that's something that I guess I feel differently about in this industry. You know, my goal is to get good people and have them stay and help grow themselves and the company. And I know a lot of professional people, and it always just seemed very wrong to me that this industry didn't traditionally provide those benefits to people. So I'm just checking. We started providing it actually 20 years ago to all our full-time employees. And, you know, there's a cost-sharing arrangement, so not everybody participated in it. But over time, and especially, I'm not quite sure why, but last year when the mandate came into effect, we had a lot of new people sign up. We had about 14 people come on the plan.
Wow.
We're covering over 30, probably 35 people right now, which is great. Hmm. I mean,
right.
It's a competitive advantage for us because a lot of other restaurants don't do it, you know. And so if you want to get people to stay with you for a long time, it makes sense to provide that benefit. I won't underestimate the expense involved. It's well over $100,000 a year that we spend on that benefit. But it seems to have strategic benefits to us besides the fact that I agree that I think it is how healthcare is provided in our country, and that I feel obligated to provide that benefit to people.
That is awesome. Awesome. So are most of your employees now covered by health insurance?
Yeah, most are.
Okay.
It is a high turnover industry still. I mean, you do have people come and go. But we have a lot of people that have been here. A lot of people have been here longer than 10 years. Probably more than half of the employees have been here longer than 10 years.
And really?
We have quite a few people over 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So who has been with you the longest? Like from the beginning? Employee number one.
Nobody's been here since the beginning. That goes far back. I've been here the longest at 29 years or 28 years. But have people been here like 22 years, 15, 17, 18?
Hmm.
It's like a big family here, really. So people choose to make it their career. And we've also provided a lot of growth opportunities for people. When I mentioned before that, buying buildings and expanding restaurants and taking on other restaurants, you provide opportunities for people to take on more responsibility and make money. And that's, that keeps people engaged.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I read in your website that you have someone who, she's Thai. I think she does your
she's actually our general manager.
General manager. Okay, yeah, because she started with, I kind of like vaguely remember it now. So what's your secret of keeping your employees happy and stay with you for a long time with your business?
Oh, well, those are one of the things, providing good benefits, providing growth opportunities, we call it putting the plant in the right window, finding out what people's strengths and weaknesses are and trying to craft the job so that they're able to operate in a place where they really are using your skills to best effect. It's pretty simple, really. That's it.
Are you active on a day-to-day running the business?
I do an awful lot of things. two restaurants, a bakery, and a catering business, you're all over the place. I'm involved. I am very active civically with our city as well, and I'm very interested in the economic vitality of our city and the redevelopment of our waterfront. So I serve on a lot of boards and commissions that are trying to keep those things moving ahead. And those are good things for business too, because I know a lot of people in the city, and we're like the local joint. So I see a lot of we have the federal judges eat here on a regular basis from the courthouse up at Carlisle, and we have the local judges, and we have a lot of lawyers, and we have a lot of stroller moms, and it's a nice thing to walk through the rest. A lot of people that you know and who eat here every day, or people who have been eating here for 25 or 30 years. It's not an insignificant number of people who are really connected to the business, and that helps keep the employee base, the retention rate high too, because people are largely pretty nice.
Right. Now, do you have some sort of sustainability program in your restaurant?
Well, we do a number of things. Yeah, we do a number of things. We have a pretty robust recycling program. We recycle our fry oil, all our our single stream, so cans, bottles, cardboard. We just started working with a company called Energy Sherlock, and they come in and do a complete audit of all your energy use, and then you do a deal with them, and they sort of guarantee you a reduction in your utility bills in exchange for a payment. And we've a lot of our thermostats have been replaced with cloud-based ones that we controlled remotely. All our lighting was switched out. There's some things that they did in our walk-ins and our HVAC systems that should lower our energy costs. I mean, that's an enormous amount of money. You know, between all of our facilities, we can spend $10,000 a month on electricity. So it's a significant cost to the business. And
right.
Makes good sense to try to mitigate that and not waste it. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, so what is that? Some sort of like a program with the city of Alexandria where you get the guarantee reduction? You said on
no, your- it's a private company, and
how does it work? I mean, how does
vendors.
It work? I see. Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Now, how does it work? How does it work? So they do the audit,
well,
they come in, they do the audit.
They do the audit, and then they, you know, we write a contract, and then they come in and switch out a lot of equipment. They switched out all the thermostats. They switched out almost all the lighting fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, installed LED lights. They did something, it's interesting, a walk-in refrigerator has like a temperature probe that may, you know, helps regulate the temperature, and generally they're just sort of open to the air. And so when the door opens and there's hot air outside, the hot air rushes in and it ticks off that probe, and then the compressor comes on, but the food would not be affected by the temperature change. So what they do is they put that temperature probe inside a little gel pack, and so it's reading a more constant temperature than just with the wind, the air temperature. So
wow, that's interesting.
So it keeps your walk-in from turning itself on and off a lot of time, which, you know, hopefully saves on wear and tear for the equipment as well.
Hmm.
So they have a lot of good tricks. It's nice to outsource that to somebody who can focus on it. And they monitor our energy use on our thermostats and make recommendations about how we can, you know, continue to, you know, save money on energy.
Right. Big thing. Now, yeah, that's great. I mean, I also see that you also partners with a number of nonprofits. And is it around the city? You have a list of partnership with nonprofits. So you pretty much in like you have the energy impact, the environmental impact, and as well as the social impact on your initiatives that you place within your restaurants. Now, what is the hardest challenges that you have to deal with, and what are some of the lessons learned?
You know, people are challenging. employees can be challenging. Customers can be challenging. Cash flow can be challenging. Cost control can be challenging. You know, lessons learned on all that. You sometimes just have to be patient. You can't fix things immediately sometimes. And you try to really work to hold your team together and motivate people. And it really is remarkable when I'll walk around these various buildings. You know, the bakery is sort of its own universe, and the catering sales office is kind of its own universe, and the catering kitchen is one, and the cafe is one. But all these groups of people have to work together every day to execute. And, you know, on a normal day, we probably feed between 15 and 2,500 people between catering and the number of customers that come to the restaurant. So it's a lot of people. And, you know, we deliver a lot of food. people come to us through the restaurant. So, you know, the lesson, I guess, of all is that you really have to put together a great team of people and motivate them and reward them and take care of them if you're going to be successful in a kind of business like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we're doing $28 entrees here. It's a $7 sandwich, and you got to do a lot of volume to make that go.
That's right. Yeah. So if you have to start all over again, what would you do differently?
I don't know. I mean, look, this has been a huge learning experience for me to start somewhere. You know, I graduated with a degree in Russian studies, and I didn't want to work for CIA or State Department, and I had this kind of drop in my lap to start working here because I want to learn how to cook, and then 3 years later to buy the business. And, you know, I've done lots of build-outs, renovations, built kitchens. You know, 2 years ago where we have office space upstairs and the office market is pretty weak here in town, and so we converted one of the spaces into a yoga studio, and we turned another one into a waxing salon. And so I've learned so much about real estate and finance and management and some things I'd rather not know about, but I have appreciated the opportunity to be in a high learning environment all these years. That's you know, I like staying in school, and you know, you're sort of pressured. You got to produce. You got to keep paying people, and so it you know, this is an environment that's allowed me to have that opportunity, and I can't think of really anything I would do differently off the top of my head.
Great, that's great. That's great. I just want to ask you a trivia question. Now, let's say one day you know, you were chosen to mentor kids who come from low-income background, and you want, you know, you're assigned to inspire them to dream big and follow their passions. What would you tell them?
Mm-hmm.
How would you inspire them?
Well, I think that's all well and good to say, you know, follow your passion, but sometimes your passion is not always evident. And the only way you really find your passion is to try things, right? Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to try things, because if you don't like it or you're not good at it, you'll find out. If you don't try, you're never going to know. And sometimes you may surprise yourself that something really is your passion. So I, you know, and this gets into the idea of self-confidence too, which I think is critically important for anybody in life. The more confident you feel, the more successful you're going to be in life. If you don't try things, you can't be confident, right? You're afraid to do things. If you do things, you may fail or you may succeed, but you are at least familiar at that point, and you could do it again and again and again. And so it helps you build that confidence over time. So that's what I would say to a young person who is kind of trying to figure out where to go with their lives.
Well, Jody, it's almost time. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I hope it's helpful for someone.
Thank you, Jody.
It pays off. You know, you can start at the bottom and work your way up. And there are many opportunities in the restaurant business to do that. But you just got to work hard and apply yourself and find the part that, you know, you're best at.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Yeah, opportunities out there.
Yep.
You just have to work at it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jody.
Hello.
That concludes our conversation. Please bookmark this site, blogtalkradio.com/ecotwist for updates, or follow us at twitter.com/ecotwist. Thank you so much for listening.